following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, October 5th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world and 4 weeks away from legalization of marijuana in the state of California. That's right, vote yes on Prop 19, Californians. Get yourself registered to vote by October 18th. Normally at this time, we'd be introducing our board operator, Ganja John, but as you know, yesterday was a very special day. He got a visit from a kidney from the state of Tennessee. He has gotten his kidney transplant. The latest news is that Ganja John had his surgery last night. The surgery went perfectly. Everything is fine. He is now recuperating at the Oregon Health Sciences University. At this time, we'll go to our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon, and welcome my good friend and quarter sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Yes, it was a long night, but we all feel much better that Ganja John's on the other side and recuperating.
Yeah, he's going to be in the hospital for a while. You know, they got to give him all those anti-rejection drugs, and he's got to be under quarantine for like a month. We couldn't even visit him because we still have a slight cold, so we got to hold back. But Cannabis Carrie's up there in Astoria taking care of our news stories, which we'll get to right after the first break. What's in the news today?
Well, today we actually are doing a news story about news in general, newspaper print to be exact. We're also going to Portland, Oregon, your hometown, Russ, and to see what the police are up to. But we're going to start the hemp headlines out today visiting a town that's close to all of our hearts, Weed, California.
Ah, we love Weed, California. I especially love that photo that's up on Google Images where the guy's standing there underneath the sign that says Weed One Direction, College the Other. It's always a cute photo.
All right, well, yeah, with his hands up like, I don't know.
Make a choice. All right. We will get to that right after our first break. Also in today's Normal Show Live, we've got your daily toker tunes. Today's Electric Tuesday. Sarah Kant is still on maternity leave, so we'll bring you a tune from the IOTA PromoNet. This one's called Take Me Higher. Always a good idea. And then coming up at half past the hour, we've got a couple of interviews for you. First of all, in the California Marijuana Report, an interview with Felipe Rose, who you probably know better as the Native American from the Village People, coming out in support of Prop 19. Then we've got a cannabis conversation, another highlight from the Normal National Conference last month in Portland, Oregon, with Jasmine Tyler from the Drug Policy Alliance discussing the enforcement of marijuana laws as the new Jim Crow. And then at the end of the show, a little radical ranting about the Portland Police Bureau and their need for privacy. All that coming up here on Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around. We're here for the next 60 minutes. You can get us downloaded by podcast on iTunes. Just look for the Normal Daily Audio Stash. And then in the second hour, we'll take your live calls and talk in Toker Talk Radio. Normal Show Live, we're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol, and I quit drinking years ago. But until now, we all run the risk of arrest if we're caught with marijuana. Fortunately, that's about to change. The voters in California this November will have the opportunity to approve a proposal to legalize, regulate, and tax the responsible use of marijuana by adults. The nation's most populous state may soon be the first to reject prohibition, and other states are sure to follow. To learn how you can help, please contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A Northern California town named Weed has long used its name to poke fun of itself. Weed, California is indeed located just above the famed Emerald Triangle of California, an area long known for growing some of the state's best marijuana. You can buy a t-shirt at a local store of this sleepy little town in the northernmost part of the state that says, I love weed. And a local brewery has a tongue-in-cheek motto on their bottle caps that say, try legal weed. To the dismay of cannabis fans passing through the town, it was named after its founder, pioneer and local lumber mill owner, Abner Weed. So far, the town has said no to medical marijuana dispensaries, and there is a ban on them within the city limits. Mayor Dave Pierce, whose son works for a business that sells I Love Weed t-shirts, has said he doesn't want his town to be a focal point for the real thing. Abner Weed is buried in a family plot in neighboring Dunsmuir, along with Mount Shasta. Those are the only two cities in Siskiyou County where you can buy medical marijuana. Mayor Pierce says he doesn't want his town to gain a reputation for being a marijuana mecca. The mayor admits to trying cannabis twice, both back in the 1960s, but said it wasn't for him. And if California passes Prop 19 and legalizes marijuana for adult use, the mayor said he would have to look at what kinds of taxes the city would reap if it allowed marijuana sales, but he said it would be difficult to allow outright sales of marijuana in weed. Council member Leo Satter said that even if Prop 19 passes, he doubts the town will change its mind about selling marijuana locally, going as far to say the town will probably try to make laws against it. Now, both men enjoy the beer that their local brewery makes, and the owner of Mount Shasta Brewing Company, located in Weed, has centered his business on marijuana puns. With varieties of beer called Shastafarian and, of course, one called Weed, advertising on his trucks declare, a friend in weed is a friend indeed. The brewery even fought the government over using the phrase on all of his bottle caps that say, try legal weed, a suit they won, and now sell a magnetic version of the bottle cap at the brewery. He calls the marketing strategy for its beer a gold mine. And even though the notoriety has brought a fortune to Von Dillman, the owner of Shasta Brewing Company, he shares the opinion of his mayor, city council, and local sheriff about not wanting to allow the sale of marijuana in his town. He says he does not support Prop 19 and will not vote for it. However, he plans to make more money if it does. He already has a new t-shirt slogan in mind that will be for sale in his brewery should Prop 19 pass, and it is, weed was legal before weed was legal, with a picture of his most profitable brew.
Well, of course the brewmaster doesn't want to support Prop 19. Like he said, he's got a gold mine going right now, selling alcohol without much competition from actual legal weed. In fact, we've seen the California beer distributors get on board with that as well. Big alcohol's influence is being felt in the Prop 19 debate as we speak, with their money going toward negative ads and opposition to Prop 19. So no big surprise there from the brewery. From the city council here, though, Boy, talk about not seeing a golden opportunity when it's available. Can you imagine the amount of tourist dollars and the amount of knickknacks and stuff that could be sold in Weed, California at the local weed store in Weed, California? Seems like natural marketing to me, but, you know, they're afraid, I guess, of all the possibilities with legal marijuana. They're afraid of, they've been believing all of the hype that the naysayers have said, thinking it'll lead to the collapse of civilization and the raping of children and cats and dogs living together and so on. I guess there's not very much we can do about that, but laugh as the cities around them reap all that tax and tourism revenue when they legalize under Prop 19.
The debate in states that are looking to start a medical marijuana program often includes the revenue that a program would add to the state's budget. While medical marijuana revenue is open to debate, one industry that has been helped out by the medical marijuana movement is the weekly newspapers in medicinal marijuana states. Local newspapers that have been declining in popularity across the nation and have led many new media news media outlets declaring the newspaper in its old-fashioned print form version is a dying breed. Papers are trying to cope with the recession and the flight of advertising dollars, especially classified listings that are now free on services online such as Craigslist. They've been laying off workers left and right, and worse yet, many folding under the weight of new pressures from online media sources. But some communities that have embraced medical marijuana are seeing a boon to local newspapers that have been recently stuffed with marijuana ads, smoker product reviews, and inserts devoted to cannabis businesses. What began cautiously in alternative weekly newspapers, long known for their embrace of more controversial ad dollars, has spread to publications like the Denver Post and the Bozeman Chronicle. The Colorado Springs Independent issue last week had a large, glossy, and expensive pullout supplement devoted to medical marijuana. Alternative weeklies are now regularly publishing the ads along with smokers' product reviews, and the shrinking market for real estate ads that has been replaced not only by ads for medical marijuana providers, but ads for services that have sprouted up around the medical cannabis industry, like tax lawyers, security specialists, financial advisors, and specialized real estate agencies. Most of these new enterprises have tons of cash and are eager to get the word out about their business. Now, the operator of the Village Voice Media that publishes alternative weeklies across the country says it is one of the fastest growing industries he has ever seen come in. Money from advertising for marijuana related businesses has totaled 15% of Colorado's westward revenue this year and nearly 40% of its classified advertising revenue. A small eighth of a page display ad on one of the paper's glossy inside pages can cost $550. In an industry that has had to report on their own demise with almost monthly updates of staff layouts and newspaper downsizing, newspapers like The Independent has hired new staff members and devoted to the genre and promoted three of its employees to full-time status. Newspaper publishers saw an opening for medical marijuana advertising with the Obama administration last fall, saying it would not prosecute users and suppliers of medical marijuana as long as they complied with state laws. That decision has freed more people to market and sell cannabis as a medical product and perhaps saved a few print newspapers as well.
Well, you know, the reason that there's such a boom in the newspaper ads is because they can't get the ads on radio or television. You know, that's where that advertising money would be going if it could. But every time we try to run ads for anything here, the best you can get is to get them on the syndicated stations and then usually in the ad blocks that are after 11 o'clock at night. So it's just censorship from most of the mainstream media. They don't want to take those cannabis ad dollars. But the newspapers, they're desperate. They've got to take the money from somewhere. We see this in just about every other medical marijuana state. When you look at the back page of the free news weeklies that are out there, Portland, Oregon here is no different. In fact, we have one page that had all of the ads with for at least six or seven different medical marijuana clinics. You know, we don't have dispensaries here in Oregon, so these clinics that are offering medical cards. And tucked amongst all those ads was one ad that said, when you've had enough of medical marijuana and anonymous sex, try, you know, and then whatever their ad was, right? Because all the ads in the paper are usually, you know, the crazy little sex chat ads and the medical marijuana ads. But even the sex chat ads are starting to fade. We're starting to see more and more of the marijuana ads. So this is just another piece of good news in the overall fight to legalize marijuana for all adults. And it proves once and for all that money does talk.
In Portland, Oregon, a proposal from the city that would require drug tests after the use of deadly force, suspect's death in custody, or serious traffic accidents is being met with some resistance. The proposal is in a new contract with the city of Portland and the Portland Police Association. And Portland Mayor Sam Adams and former Police Bureau Commissioner Dan Salzman both support random drug tests. Mayor Adams has said, quote, "We must ensure that an officer's decision-making thought process, including whether or not to use lethal force, is not clouded by drugs," unquote. Additionally, the proposal would broaden the current range of drugs for which tests are done, including steroids, and would enforce stricter penalties for violation and would include some random drug testing. Police attorney Will Atkinson said the random testing proposal would violate the officer's right to privacy. Current drug testing is allowed if there is, quote, reasonable suspicion. And Arkansas said that any test beyond that would be unlawful search and seizure. The city and the police union are negotiating the two-year contract, and the proposal from the city would exempt civilian employees of the department from testing, something lead city negotiator Steve Heron said is fair because of the duties and gravity of duties associated with being a sworn police officer. The proposal would also require any officers on leave for more than 6 months to be tested when they come back. The Portland Police Association is fighting to have the random drug testing clause removed before they come to an agreement on a new contract.
What? The Portland police think that taking a drug test is an invasion of privacy? I can't understand why they would think that way. Hey, you know, I'm going to have to talk about this a whole lot more than we got time for here in the news, so we'll save it for the end of the show. Coming up in your Radical Rant, we'll talk about the Portland police at the bottom of the hour and their opinion on random drug testing. In the meantime, I've got a couple of news stories here that Cannabis Carry doesn't have, so I'm going to bring them to you while we hold on to that Portland police story. First of all, I wanted to make note of the new high-class marijuana subculture. This is something that came up through ABC News, and I've posted it up at stash.normal.org, and it has to do with the new website potcouture.com. Pepper and Margot, two 20-something New York women, launched the high-style site potcouture.com under their chosen pseudonyms after noticing a dearth of female friendly weed websites. Quote, "The site is designed for women, but I think what we're really looking for is to convey the normalcy of this," said Margot, noting that a lot of marijuana-friendly sites pair pot-friendly content with a healthy dose of scantily clad females. Quote, "Most of the people that we know smoke pot. Everybody is doing this, and not everybody wants to look at naked women covered with bud porn," end quote. She said the man sites are a great fit for their chosen demographic, but they're missing a big opportunity. Quote, "There are so many more people who are smoking who have, well, without sounding too snarky, taste." So that's the new website, Potcouture. That's C-O-U-T-U-R-E, potcouture.com. And I really like it as they've come up with a new term. They call themselves lady stoners, which I think is a little better than stiletto stoner. Let me bring Cannabis Carry here in on this conversation too, because I know this is something we've discussed in the past with regards to the cannabis media.
Yeah, I think it's great that we're seeing this more and more. We had a normal meeting here yesterday, a feeler meeting for my area, and it was all, you know, middle-aged, normal women that showed up at this meeting. So women really are a force to be reckoned with in this media. We've talked about it a ton, that women are the answer to prohibition. We repealed the alcohol laws, and it's really important that venues like this keep popping up, because as much as we love our High Times magazine and as much as we love all the cannababes and the naughty nurses, that's just not going to sell to soccer moms.
Yeah,
look what they did to Katy Perry on Sesame Street.
Yeah, really. And you know, there's nothing wrong. You're right. There's nothing wrong with either of them. I made the analogy that, you know, there's Sports Illustrated and it has a swimsuit issue. And then there's the Sporting News that doesn't have swimsuits. And there's nothing wrong with either of them. It's just, you know, there should be more choices for people. And I'm glad to see the folks at Pot Couture have come up with another choice. Now, in that ABC News story, I also wanted to bring up another website that they mentioned. And this site is leaf.ly, L-E-A-F. weedcompany.ly. And we brought up the priceofweed.com, which was an online pricing for people across the nation. They could put in their strain and what it cost them. Leaf.ly is an online strain evaluator, and they've got hundreds and hundreds of strains listed and evaluated by their medical effects, by how they make you feel, and by what they make you want to do. Like, is it something you'd like to listen to music to, or is it something more for getting creative and so on? I highly recommend you check out leaf.ly. I played around with it a little bit. They've got them divided by sativas, indicas, hybrids. Their chart kind of looks like the periodic chart of the elements, so it's a really easy to navigate and to find. And when you find one strain that you like, it also has related strains so that you can figure out other stuff that might work well for you. Well, the phones are ringing off the hook. It must be time to take a break. Get well, Ganja John. We'll see you in about a month, and we'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes. It's Electric Tuesday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to know how it is. Lie to know how it is. Just lie to know how it is. Fire up right now.
Down, jump, bump, you got. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. Brought to you by Sara Kant in Boston, Massachusetts, and Sara Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 after the hour, Sara is still on maternity leave with her lovely new infant, Liberty Maya. So we're bringing you the tunes here for Electric Tuesday. Also want to remind you folks that we still have an open position on Wednesday, Ivory Wednesday, for a music editor. I've received a few emails from people at stash@normal.org with submissions of MP3s of reggae, world music, Latin, calypso, anything that would fit into those genres. The position is still open, so if you'd like to be our Irie Wednesday music editor, all it would mean is supplying us one tune a week and writing up the introduction for that tune. We would love to have you here. It's one of the ways that you can volunteer for Normal and help to make a difference by helping make this show even better. Now, today's Daily Toker tune for Electric Tuesday comes from Viki and DJ Hoke, and there was no information listed for them up on the IOTA PromoNet, and I looked around Google for a while and couldn't find anything either. So if anyone has information on Viki and DJ Hoke, please email it to me at stash@normal.org. So without further ado, here is their tune, Viki and DJ Hoke with Take Me Higher.
copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
California ain't holding me back.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. We're joined now by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report on KRXA AM 540 in Monterey. Now, here's Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
And it's a very special honor this week to welcome Felipe Rose, the Native American from the Village People, to the California Marijuana Report. Felipe, you guys have sold an excess of 100 million albums. I mean, this is just...
I've heard this again and again and again, and I'm, wow, that's amazing.
This is just unbelievable. Very few groups can attest to that. And why do you think this group has such staying power? Why?
Well, I think that it's, first off, the group, and we sing better than ever, and our choreography is tighter than ever, and the show is tight. I mean, we look good. Everybody's trimmed. We work out. You know, we look good. We you could say we haven't aged, except for the fact that we're in the this month's issue of AARP. You know, it's the show, but the thing is that the audiences that go to the show are from 4 years old, younger to 18, 89, 90. So there's various generations, different generations. They like the act because everybody has a favorite.
Let's go back to the 1970s when this group was at its peak. One of your first...
Ladies and gentlemen, you do know that he's interviewing me while I'm smoking a blunt.
Felipe, I wouldn't expect anything less from you over there in Asbury Park, New Jersey. You're an absolute legend, and I know you're smoking a big one as we do the interview here on the California Marijuana Report. But let's talk about the group if we can. In the 1970s, you guys were one of the biggest groups out there, and you had a song called San Francisco.
That song is pretty hot. It's still in the show. It's a medley, and it was done, actually written by Peter Whitehead, Burris Whitehead, Victor Willis, and Jacques Morali. And they talked about the nightlife of San Francisco and the Hayden Castro, Fulton, you know, Poking Castro and all of that stuff, and the clubs, and basically, you know, sort of like it was a celebration to the gay communities there. And that pretty much was the first album, on the first album. But the San Francisco Hollywood, coincidentally, when the album was released, it was released during the huge national outing of everyone coming out of the closet because of Anita Bryant. That immediately became like the backdrop, the musical backdrop to the landscape and the culture and the climate of what was going on. And, I mean, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people came out that summer. And San Francisco Hollywood stayed on the charts for 36 weeks. That was intense. And what it did was that we were AM darlings, AM radio, prior to FM. That during Macho Man, it was pretty much the kids that wanted, they loved the song, the parents loved it, and so it was a crisscross of the culture and the generation, or the pop generation, that really took us to fame. They bought the records, millions and millions of them.
And we're speaking with Felipe Rose, the Native American from the Village People here on the California Marijuana Report. He is smoking a blunt on the other end of the phone. And we are speaking to him live from his home in New Jersey. Felipe, we are so, and I can hear that accent now that, Felipe, let's talk about your biggest hit, which was YMCA. This was a number two smash and a worldwide phenomenon. What kind of impact did that song, YMCA, have on your life?
Well, needless to say, it was a juggernaut. We all know that. Till this day, we know it, you know. But that song was really a filler song. It was one more song. We needed one more song before to put the finishing touches on the Cruising album. And the song intended, I'm a cruiser into a medley, into I love the women who know they are. And it was a tribute to all the women of Hollywood, Donna, Diana, the stuff like that. And then we needed one more song, and then on a lunch break, the ex-producer, our late Jacques Morali, came in and asked us, swear to God, in a French accent, qu'est-ce que c'est? EMCI, and we looked at him, okay, that's Young Men's Christian Association, and he immediately turned around and said, Young Men, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just like that, and they wrote it in 15 minutes.
And we're pleased to have Felipe Rose this week on the California Marijuana Report. Felipe is the Native American from the Village People, the iconic disco group. And Felipe, we know that Glenn Hughes, the Leatherman, died of lung cancer. He was a 3-pack-a-day cigarette smoker. Talk to me about your thoughts on marijuana versus cigarettes.
The cigarette versus marijuana, to me, I don't know. It's healthier. It's a calming, soothing thing for me. I paint, I draw, you know, I'm a movie fan, and so, you know. Well, I don't think that it's a drug, because when you really think about how the Native Americans, we smoke, you know, tobacco, and that it's in the sense of be going into prayer and for harmony and unity and brotherhood, you pass the pipe around. That's how pretty much how as I look at it. I mean, the only thing is, you know, my dad cracks me up because he's 89. He says, well, son, you got one of those funny cigarettes, and let's just smoke. So I've smoked with my dad. And immediately we turn around, or he'll play a flute and sit there and sing, or I'll just start beating with him, and we put on these long, funny glasses to look at the needle with the beads, and he makes chokers, and, you know, I look at it like it just chills you out. It just releases you of everything, and you can sort of sit back and look around your surroundings and really enjoy yourself with whatever you're doing. If you choose to do nothing, that's great. But I've also have been in situations where friends of mine, either going through breast cancer or HIV or AIDS or some kind of chemotherapy, I have brought them because they've asked me that they wanted a little pot to get through the day. So and a lot of them, some of them, you know, sadly have left us. Some of them are still around as survivors. But every time they see me, they say, "Oh, you were just a beam of light, a smile with a nice fat joint."
Felipe, let's talk about the legalization of marijuana. We here in California are getting behind Proposition 19. This would tax and legalize up to an ounce of marijuana, 1 ounce of marijuana here in the state. We are very close to November 2nd when we could see legal marijuana. We are counting on the Native American vote here to come out and vote.
I say so. I say to my brothers and sisters, my skins out there, that they need to go out there and they need to support this bill. It'll bring great revenue to the state. And pretty much like Prohibition, when liquor, you know, the government stepped in, and, you know, and Prohibition ended, you know, yeah, you could buy it, but, you know, you had to pay for it. And there was taxes on it. So the same thing will happen again. And then, you know, I think that also you never hear of massive suicides and crime sprees on marijuana. It's always on some other substance people are on.
Felipe Rose, the Native American with the Village People, thank you so much for joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement in prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our Normal Show Live Cannabis Conversations.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jasmine Tyler from the Drug Policy Alliance. It's quite a pleasure to be here. It's my first Normal conference. I want to thank Keith and Paul and Alan for having me out here and for Madeline for putting this panel together. I think this is a really, really important topic. It's a long time coming, in my opinion. As I look out in the room, this is probably the whitest audience I've ever given a speech to, so I hope I don't offend. We're all friends here. I took the job at the Drug Policy Alliance almost 4 years ago because I believe very strongly that the war on drugs is the new Jim Crow. I believe that because it's been my personal life story. I grew up visiting prisons, visiting my dad in prison, and I only ever saw black people there. I never actually saw white prisoners in prison until I was in college. I read books like The Philadelphia Negro by W.E.B. Du Bois and books like Race Matters by Cornel West. And I, as I grew academically, I realized there was something. The personal really is the political. My family's experience was exactly the experience that other families around the country were going through, and I wasn't going to let it stand anymore. So I get to fight the drug war. I don't know a lot of you because for a long time I've been working on a different drug. I'm known as DPA's crack lady. I've been working to equalize the sentences between crack and powder cocaine for almost 4 years, like I said, and people, thank you. People were working on that long before I came to the fight. Let me let you know that for sure. But it's the work of, you know, drug policy reformers like Ira Glasser and Deborah Small and my own fearless leader, Ethan Nadelman, that really helped me understand exactly how the drug war had become the new Jim Crow and articulate that, not just around crack cocaine, but around other problems with the drug war. And we can't separate marijuana and the fight to end marijuana prohibition from the rest of the drug war. Especially, I'm not used to all this applause. Especially when it comes to marijuana arrests, because the same things that we see when we talk about the crack powder disparity, right? 100 times worse, more harsh sentencing schemes. It takes 5 grams of powder cocaine, or it took, we recently had some success I'll tell you about. It took 5 grams of powder cocaine, 2 sugar packets for your morning coffee, to trigger a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence that it took 500 grams of powder cocaine to trigger. Crack cocaine is made from powder. Let me say it again. Crack cocaine is made from powder cocaine. It took 50 grams of crack cocaine, the weight of a Mr. Goodbar candy bar, to trigger a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence that it took 5 kilos of powder cocaine to trigger. 5,000 grams. I don't have to tell you, I don't know people in the hood who have boats or shipping companies or 18-wheelers who are driving this stuff around the country. I just don't. It starts out in powder form, and it's trafficked into this country. And it's not Mexico's fault. 60% of the drugs that come into the country, sure, they come from Mexico. But 100% of the drugs that are in this country come across our borders. But it's not about stopping the movement of drugs or prohibiting substances that other countries have grown for centuries. It's about enforcing the laws that continue to keep a certain group of people subjugated in our society. It's happened since Africans were forced to migrate through society. We've been hyper-surveilled since that time. It hasn't changed. It didn't change during Reconstruction. It didn't change after the Civil Rights Movement, even though great gains were made. We have the war on drugs now, and that's our new form of racial segregation in the society. As you heard from Harry, the statistics are startling. 1 in 3 African Americans is under criminal justice supervision. 1 in 3 African Americans has a marijuana arrest. I can tell you that this just doesn't just happen in the hood. 3 of my closest friends all have graduate degrees. All are quite successful in their lives. They contribute to their communities and to our country every day. And one of them has a marijuana conviction. It doesn't just happen in the hood, like I said. It happens in suburban hoods. It happens in McMansion hoods. It happens to black people around the country. It's time to end it. These marijuana arrests aren't just troublesome because they're an arrest and you have to deal with the police and you have to deal with the courts and maybe you have a short period of jail time associated with it. They have lifelong consequences. They keep you from getting jobs. They keep you from getting housing. They keep you from getting public benefits. They keep you from getting student loans. And sometimes they keep you from voting. With the crack disparity, we saw that 82% of the people who were serving time federally for crack offenses were African Americans. But African Americans actually only make up 1/3 of crack users. 2/3 of crack users around the country are white or Latino. I'll say it again. 82% of the people serving time for crack offenses are black. But 2/3 of the people who use crack are white or Latino. It's a question of enforcement, like I mentioned earlier, and like Harry mentioned in his presentation. We can't take this any longer, and thank God we have people who are standing up against it and who are willing to turn a corner in the civil rights movement and who are willing to turn a corner in the social justice movement and who are willing to turn a corner in the drug policy reform movement to stop it. So thank you for standing with me and with my family and everyone.
Support. support legalizing and taxing marijuana use?
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympia smoking a joint. Did you really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale?
Saying I'm in need of change. I'm in need of change. See, I used to get high.
John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. No, I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give this people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I used to get high. The end of the day, and I used to get high. At times ticking away, and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and we're going back to today's headlines for the story about the Portland Police Bureau. And I'm telling you, living here in Portland, Oregon, when it's a story about the Portland Police Bureau, the first thing you want to know is, did they shoot anybody? No, this isn't about them shooting anyone. In this case, the Portland the union representing Portland police officers is pushing back against a proposal that would require random drug testing of police officers. The proposal from the city would also require drug tests after the use of deadly force, suspects' death in custody, and serious traffic crashes. Portland Police Association attorney Will Aitchison says the proposal would violate the officers' right to privacy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, guess what? I kind of agree with them. Actually, I completely agree with them. It would violate their right to privacy. There's no reason to think that a Portland police officer couldn't smoke a joint at night after work and then come to work the next day and be a perfectly fine police officer. There's nothing to determine that that would be the case. So, yeah, sure, just like we say for everyone, there's no reason you should be drug testing me. No reason we should be drug testing you. No reason we should be drug testing the cops. However, if there is going to be such a thing as random drug testing, and if our government is going to keep telling us that the reason we need to have this random drug testing, and if the employers are going to keep telling us that the reason we need to have this random drug testing is for safety, then the first people that should be randomly drug tested are the cops. If the government and the cops aren't drug tested and the rest of us are, folks, that's just tyranny. That's just tyranny, not wanting to live by the laws that you set for everyone else. Now, of course, we all realize that this drug testing that we have in our employment and throughout our high schools and our junior high schools is nothing more than a crusade here to send the right message about marijuana. We got to send a message to the kids that it's bad to smoke marijuana. But what we really do is we send a message to employees and we send a message to the kids that it's okay for someone in a position of power over you to seize your urine, to get involved in your most personal, private business. I can't remember if it was Sam Kinison or some other comedian who said if drug testing was shit in a bag instead of pee in a cup, do you think it would be so popular? But really, there's no difference between those two possibilities. They're both filthy. They're both ridiculous. And neither of them give you any sort of tell about whether or not someone's going to be a good employee, whether or not they're impaired on the job. It's time that we end drug testing for everyone. And that is yet another reason why I am so supportive of California's Proposition 19. This is something that a lot of people aren't mentioning. And of course, the pro-Prop 19 people can't mention this because if they did, their opponents in law enforcement, their opponents in the religious groups and the parents groups would jump all over them. But the fact is, under Prop 19, being able to discriminate against you for a drug test will be over. That's right. We'll be over because according to Prop 19, I'm going to pull up the language here. And by the way, for those of you in California that are looking for information on Prop 19, just go to our blog at stash.normal.org and look on the right-hand side. We've got a Prop 19 word-for-word analysis that you can use to be able to find the information. We've got the entire written out, I mean, every word from Prop 19 listed in there, and then you can just go through and read it for yourself. Plus, we've got analysis from some of the greatest attorneys in medical marijuana law in the state of California, as well as collections of all the opponents who've been saying it would be a bad thing and showing them why they are wrong. But let me get down here to the language that I was talking about here. Let's see if we can find that. Scrolling down, I would have had this up, but let's see. You can have whatever you have in your home, 25 square foot. Let's see. Oh, gosh. Here, of course, I can't find it when I need it. But basically, the law states that no one can be discriminated against if they're using marijuana. Here it is. Section C. Section 11304C. 11304C. No person shall be punished, fined, discriminated against, or be denied any right or privilege for lawfully engaging in any conduct permitted by this act or authorized pursuant to Section 11301 of this act, provided, however, that the existing right of an employer to address consumption that actually impairs job performance by an employee shall not be affected. Now, I heard in a, I read, I think Mike Gray made a post somewhere saying that employers would still be able to drug test. He's absolutely right. Employers would still be able to drug test. However, the positive results from marijuana metabolites in that drug test would no longer be something they could discriminate against you for. So they could still offer the drug test. They could still say, hey, you got to take a drug test before you can get this job. But they can't not give you the job for failing it. For pot. Now, you fail it for meth or coke or anything else, sure, they can discriminate against you. But no person shall be punished, fined, discriminated against, or be denied any right or privilege for lawfully engaging in marijuana smoking. And since the metabolites of marijuana only prove that you did something that is lawful under Prop 19, they can't discriminate against you for it. Now, they can still discriminate against your use of marijuana as it impairs your job performance. So if they catch you in the break room smoking pot, yes, they can discriminate against you. They can fire you. They can, you know, you'll lose your job because they could pretty reasonably prove that ingesting marijuana on the work site can cause impairment. There's plenty of tests, plenty of research that shows that recent use of marijuana does cause impairment. And they'd still be able to discriminate against you if you show up to work high. I mean, you come to work with you know, bloodshot eyes and reeking of pot, and they can definitely say, hey, you know, we think you've consumed too recently. You need to go home. Just as if you had shown up to work drunk. If you show up to work drunk, they can send you home. So it's not as if the workplaces are going to be overrun by people that are high. Besides, those of us who are responsible cannabis consumers, we're not getting high at work anyway. We don't do that. We don't load up in the break room and then come out to work on the assembly line. It's just not happening. Now, I know some people will look at us here at Normal Show Live and say, hey, but Russ, you're smoking pot right there in your studio while you're at work. Yes, I am. And if anyone can show me that that's causing an impairment that affects my ability to do this job, I'll be glad to stop doing that. But the idea that somebody who's going to be responsible for, say, driving a bus, driving a truck or anything like that is going to have the same attitude, that's not going to wash. It's just not going to fly. And besides, this is a two-person studio. It's not as if anybody's safety is depending on whether or not we're high here in the studio. But back to the Portland Police Bureau here, resisting the drug testing. Now, resisting the drug testing on a random basis, I'm totally with them on that. Absolutely, right? We want to make sure that, no random drug testing is going on. But drug testing for cause is another issue. They're talking about requiring drug tests after the use of deadly force, after a suspect's death in custody, and after serious traffic crashes. I think if we are expected to live up to that standard, we get drug tested, if we get into wrecks, we get drug tested, if someone around us dies, then that should apply to the police as well. Also, they're talking about increasing the number of drugs they would test for to include steroids. Now, all of us know the idea of the roid rage that's out there, the idea that someone that's abusing steroids can get a little mentally unstable, have aggression and anger issues. That, of course, would be the last thing you'd want out of a police officer, is for someone to be in a roid rage. And considering how many of these officers are working on the streets and may want to bulk up a little bit to deal with the people on the streets, I think that's something legitimate to check out, too. Besides, we should be consistent about this. If we're going to drug test everyone else for steroids, if we're going to drug test the NFL for steroids, we're going to drug test people that hit a ball with a bat in Major League Baseball, going to test them for steroids, I think testing the guy carrying around a billy club may a taser and a gun is somebody that we should be drug testing. So we can't have it both ways, people. If we're going to have such a thing as drug testing, by God, let's do it. Let's drug test everybody. I think one of the things that might have shocked people in hearing this story is just finding out that the police in a major American city aren't being drug tested. I think that might have shocked a few people as well, but it's absolutely true. It's going on in cities all over the country. Now, for comparison's sake, in the state of Oregon, just down I-5 in the state capital of Salem, the Salem Police Department, they are subject to random drug testing, not dissimilar from the program that they're proposing here in Portland, Oregon. So, cops, if you'd like some privacy for your use of marijuana or other drugs, why don't you start fighting for it for us? You're all perfectly welcome to join LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You're all welcome to join NORMAL if you like. Help us fight for an end to these prohibitionary marijuana laws, and then it won't be an issue as to whether or not you're smoking a joint on the weekend when you head out to the coast or when you go up hiking in Mount Hood area or something like that. It's so frustrating here, the hypocrisy that we have to deal with from so many when it comes to this war on drugs. We've got to make sure that we end this prohibition. And I hope everyone understands that a lot of this rant is kind of tongue in cheek. I don't support random drug testing for anybody. It doesn't prove anything, doesn't show anything but that we're invading someone's privacy and making judgments based on the popularity of what drug they might have taken. I don't support drug testing cops randomly. Don't support drug testing firefighters randomly. Don't support drug testing airline pilots randomly. I don't care what job you're doing. Drug testing is not the most effective way to keep you safe. The most effective way to keep people safe is through the use of proper management, by paying attention to people, by doing real things like impairment testing, a system by which we can catch people who are impaired not only for their use of substances, but also if they're tired or injured or emotionally distracted or fatigued or hungover. In fact, hangovers are one of the largest causes of workplace accidents and problems with workplace productivity, and yet nobody's talking about drug testing for a beer from the night before. Let's be serious about this. Let's change these laws and stop asking people for their pee. I'm Radical Russ. Get well, Ganja John. I know you're listening to us out there. And for Cannabis Carry and everyone here at normal.org, thanks for listening. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.